And so, many of those words occur, or shall I say, many times do those words occur in the Bible, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Over and over and again we have those words. As Moses was a prophet, so the Lord's going to raise up a prophet like unto him. The Lord wants us to understand the Word. Not only does He want us to understand the Word, but He's given us His Holy Spirit to enable us to understand it, interpret it, and profit thereby. Many, many illustrations, many analogies, many parables in the Word of God. Now Moses, a prophet like unto Moses, is an analogy between Moses and our Lord. And as we look at certain events in the life of Moses, we draw a comparison them in the life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now Peter, on the day of Pentecost, preaching a sermon to the children of Israel, quoted this passage from Deuteronomy and explaining to them about the Lord Jesus Christ, that God had told Moses and spoken through Moses that He was going to raise up a prophet unto the children of Israel from among their brethren, like unto me, or like unto Moses. So I want to call your attention this morning to some of the highlights in the life of Moses, and then view similar experiences in the life of our Lord. Moses was born at a time when the children of Israel were slaves under a foreign taskmaster, Pharaoh in Egypt. Our Lord was born when the children of Israel were being held captive by the Roman Empire, many of them slaves of Rome. When Moses was born, his parents saw that he was a goodly child. They saw that he was unique, that he was different. And when the Lord Jesus Christ was born, the uniqueness of his birth was manifested by the announcement of the angels, by the appearance of the wise men from the east, by many other evidences that he was unusual and different. Moses was born at a time when an order had been issued that all the male children should be slain. Pharaoh, fearing that the children of Israel multiply rapidly, would soon be of such a number that if another nation attacked Egypt, the children of Israel could join in with them and overthrow the Egyptians. And thereby the children of Israel gain their freedom. When Christ was born, soon after birth, Herod issued a decree that all the male children in Bethlehem should be slain because of the children of Bethlehem was one who had been announced as the King of the Jews, who would depose him and deprive him not only of his livelihood, but of his luxurious life. And he wanted to dispose of him because of his freedom being in danger. But Moses' parents had word from God as to what to do about Moses. We read in the 11th chapter of Hebrews that it was by faith that when Moses was born, his parents, seeing that he was a goodly child, were not afraid to keep him alive, but they took him and preserved his life in the ark of bulrushes placed in the river where he was rescued by Pharaoh's daughter. For them to do that by faith meant that God had to tell the father and mother of Moses what to do and how to do it. The Lord Jesus Christ was delivered from Herod by the message of the Lord coming to them to take the child and go into Egypt, which they did, by which action the child was saved. A prophecy was fulfilled, which said, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." And Moses, being a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, also came out of Egypt to deliver the children of Israel. And our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came out of Egypt to save the children of Israel. During those years in Egypt, as far as the scripture is concerned, Moses' life was passed over in silence. And the life of our Lord, from the time he was 12 until he was 30, passed over in silence. But while Moses was in Egypt, he learned the arts and sciences of the Egyptians. Josephus tells of many things accomplished by Moses, which bear out the statement made by Stephen in his address before the Sanhedrin. Stephen said that Moses in Egypt was mighty in word and in deed. He was a mighty orator. He was commander-in-chief of the army. Josephus tells of his victories before Parliament with his oratory. Josephus also tells of the victorious wars in which Moses led the armies of Egypt and from whence they always returned safely. During the silent years of our Lord's ministry, we're told that he learned obedience by his suffering. We read that he grew in favor with God and with man. We read that he increased in wisdom. There came a day when Moses had to make a choice. At the age of 40, It is apparent that Pharaoh's daughter wanted to adopt Moses, thereby making him heir to the throne. We read again in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, which means he refused to be adopted. Imagine the possibility of Moses to be heir apparent to the throne. The most powerful, the wealthiest potentate of the world. Everything that went with it was his. The Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, equals to God the Father. All the glory of heaven was his. But as Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, so our Lord counted not his equality with God as something which he was to grasp and hold, but he laid aside his glory and took upon himself the form of a servant, that he might identify himself with his brethren and effect their salvation. Moses, choosing to cast his lot with the children of Israel, left voluntarily Pharaoh's palace and went to deliver the children of Israel, supposing that they knew that he was to be their deliverer. Our Lord turned his back on everything, emptied himself of the glory that was his, and identified himself with his brethren. He went down into the Jordan River, submitting to baptism at the hands of John the Baptizer, thereby identifying himself with the children of Israel and with you and me in death, that he might arise to walk in newness of life, having effected our salvation. Moses went out to the children of Israel, and seeing one of his brethren being beaten and mistreated by the slave master, looked this way and then he looked that way, and then he killed the slave master, the task driver, and the next day Moses had to flee. The Lord Jesus Christ, identifying himself with the people coming up out of the baptismal waters, was driven by the Holy Spirit of God into the wilderness, where he was tempted 40 days and nights of Satan. He, starting our redemption, effecting our freedom and release from the slavery of sin. The next day when Moses went out among the people, saw two of the brothers striving, he sought to become a peacemaker for them, and one of them said, "There, what are you going to do? Kill us like you did that Egyptian yesterday?" Knowing that his sin and crime was known, he left Egypt and went into a far country. Our Lord and Savior endangered his life when he affiliated himself with the people, and he was put to death, buried, rose again the third day, and then later ascended on high. He spatted and spake this parable to them: "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a nobleman which called his 10 servants unto him and delivered them 10 pounds, said unto them, occupy until I come. And then he went away into a far country. Moses went away into a far country because of Moses' attempt to free the children of Israel. Their burdens became heavier, their task most severe, punishment and persecution deeper than ever before. And the children of Israel suffered because of his appearing to them and because of their failure to receive him. The Lord Jesus Christ came to his own, and his own received him not. And when they had crucified him and he arose and ascended on high, then things became worse for the Jew down here. Jerusalem attacked and razed to the ground. Over 1 million Jews slain in the streets of Jerusalem. Those that escaped went into slavery or fled to faraway countries. And the Jew's been a wonder upon the face of the earth ever since. Every man's hand against him. Pharaoh intensified the task and persecution of the children of Israel because of Moses' unsuccessful attempt to deliver them. While Moses was away in a far country, he took unto himself a Gentile bride. He met Zipporah at a well. How frequently wells figure in the typology of the Old Testament. Wells of living water. Wells where life is flowing. Typical and symbolic of the Word of God. You recall that Eliezer found Rebekah at the well. Moses finds Zipporah at the well. The Lord finds those who are to constitute his bride, the church. He finds them at the well, dwelling in the Word, digging deep the water of life that floweth freely. Moses married Zipporah, a Gentile. The Lord Jesus Christ has gone back to heaven. And we read in the 15th chapter of Acts concerning him and this experience, how that in the household and at the household of Cornelius, the Lord did for the first time visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. The great mystery spoken of throughout the Bible, the great mystery is that Gentiles have the opportunity to partake or to share with the Jews in the coming kingdom of our Lord and be a part of the bride of Christ. Now, we read again from Acts 15. After this, after he has taken unto himself a Gentile bride, he'll return and build again the tabernacle of David. We read concerning Moses that while he was on the backside of the desert, he became a shepherd. He became a shepherd. And the Lord Jesus Christ in a faraway country is the shepherd. We have the three great shepherd psalms. Psalm 22, which tells of the good shepherd who gave his life for his sheep. Psalm 23, we read of the great shepherd who now is shepherding, providing for, protecting his flock. Then we have the 24th Psalm, which tells of the chief shepherd who who comes back and gathers them together to establish his kingdom and to rule and to reign. And the Lord today is fulfilling the 23rd Psalm. And we today can say of a truth, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. Moses became a shepherd of the flock. For 40 years he herded the sheep. One day there came to him the word of God. The word that comes to him is, Moses, I've heard the cries of my people. During the absence of Moses from Egypt, under the persecution of the Pharaoh, suffering of the children of Israel became such that they began to call upon the name of the Lord. They began to call upon the name of the Lord. What a tragedy in Christian experience in your life and in my life. We wait until tragedy strikes before we call on the Lord. Why don't we call on Him in our days of joy and happiness, in our days of fulfillment and enrichment? Why do we have to be knocked down before we call on the Lord? I guess the psychologist would say human nature. It's just human nature. But the cries of the children of Israel in Egypt went up to God. Help! Help! Relieve us! And the Lord turned to Moses and he said to Moses, I have heard the cries of my people by reason of their affliction. Now, I want you to go back and deliver them. I want you to go back and deliver them. There's coming a day when the cries of the children of Israel are going to rise. We read of that. Part of it in the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy. Keep it in mind, but don't turn there just now. In which the Lord says that one day it's going to come to pass that the children of Israel, in the countries where they've been scattered and driven abroad, one day in those countries, amid their suffering, they're going to remember God. And they're going to call out to God for help. They're going to turn to me. And the Lord says, when they turn to me and call unto me, I'm going to send Jesus back, whom they'll receive and who will deliver them. And the word came to Moses to go. As he started out, his wife and his two sons started with him. But there came that fateful meeting with the angel of the Lord at the inn, in which Moses sent Zipporah and the sons back. And here I want to call your attention to a sublime truth. It's not known by many and denied by others. But when Moses went to deliver the children of Israel from their bondage in Egypt, his wife was not with him. When Joseph appeared unto his brethren and carried them through the suffering that was theirs before he made himself known unto them, his wife was not with him. And those things, Moses, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, Joseph, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, their wives, typical of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, shows us that the church will not be in the great tribulation. They will not be in the tribulation. Moses went by himself. Joseph went by himself. His bride safely another place. We'll be safe yonder with the Lord during the time of the tribulation here upon the earth. Moses went to deliver the children of Israel. a little sidelight on this deliverance be found in the fact that when the Lord told Moses what he wanted to do, Moses said, "Oh, I can't talk. I can't talk." That's the one of whom Stephen said he was mighty in word. He was a great orator. And he said, "I can't talk." Well, the Lord didn't dilly-dally with him at all. He said, "Okay, you won't talk. And I'll send Aaron, your brother, along to be a mouthpiece for you." Not that the Lord couldn't talk, but God sent the Holy Spirit along to convey to us the things of God. Now Moses goes to deliver the children of Israel. And as he goes to deliver the children of Israel, they receive him. They receive him. The first time they rejected him. Scripture says of that first advent, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as did receive him, to them gave he the power or the authority to become the children of God. The Lord Jesus Christ came to the nation of Israel the first time, and they refused him, rejected him, crucified him, buried him. But when he comes the second time, Moses went back the second time. And when he went back the second time, there was a conflict with Satan through Pharaoh. When the Lord comes back, there's going to be the conflict between him and Satan. War breaking out in heaven. Michael and his archangel, Michael the archangel and his followers making war against Satan, winning the ultimate victory. Then we read that as Moses brought the children of Israel out, great signs and wonders accompanied the deliverance of the children of Israel. And when the Lord returns to deliver his people Israel, great signs and wonders will follow. If people could get straight in their minds that these signs and wonders and miracles pertain to the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and have nothing to do with the church of God under grace, they wouldn't get all mixed up and led astray by so-called miracles being performed today. Allow this word. I hope to come to it fuller at a later date. But one of the great curses of Christianity today are these innumerable cults that are springing up all around. And one thing they have in common, all of them are opposed to the church. They go outside the church. Outside the church. And it's the church for which Christ suffered, bled, and died. So keep that in mind. Now, the Jews come out. They're delivered by Moses. Great signs and wonders. And the Lord said of them, "I'm going to make you to be a peculiar people. I'm going to make you to be a holy nation. I'm going to exalt you, honor you, glorify you." And that's what he did. He brought them out. And he made them the leading nation in the world. And as he did, he set forth the typology of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he comes again, Israel is going to receive him. Prior to their reception, through the suffering of the great tribulation, two-thirds of the entire Jewish population of the world will be destroyed. Two-thirds. But the one-third God is going to bring through, a remnant of election according to grace. God will bring them through the great tribulation. And when the Lord returns, they'll see him as he comes through the open heavens. And then, recognizing him, they'll weep, they'll wail and mourn because of him. They'll turn to him, they'll believe on him. And as Isaiah says, a nation shall be born in a day when the whole people as one believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Him as their Messiah. Now the Lord's going to take them and make them to be the head of the nation. One day, Israel again is going to be the head of the nations. And as the scripture says, not the tail of the nations any longer, but the head of the nations. Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. They became that leading nation in those days. The nation of Israel. And God said to Abraham, I bless thee and be thou a blessing. Abraham became a blessing to the whole world. From the children of Abraham, we have the Bible. Every book in this Bible, humanly speaking, written by a Jew and by a Jewish prophet. Now you encounter somebody today that's had a revelation from God, ask them two questions. Are you a Jew? And secondly, are you a prophet? Which they're not. Then ask them again, what's the meaning of the first few verses of the book of Hebrews, in which it tells that God has spoken all that He's going to speak, everything, the last message God had for man, came through John the Apostle, the writer of the Revelation. No more revelation since then. Everyone claiming a vision or revelation is a pretender. Now you hear me again. And you be done with these revelations. And you be done with these visions. Somebody dies and goes to heaven and comes back and tells what Jesus said. If that's the truth, then what He says ought to go in the Bible. That's the Word of God if it's true. And it's adding to the Bible. If you were awakened by Jesus being in your room telling you something to do, remember that and put it in the Bible, because that's the Word of God. And it belongs there. But don't worry. It's not the Word of God. And it doesn't belong in the Bible. The revelation of God is complete in this book. And don't you believe anybody that would give you anything else or try to pass it on to you. But this book says that God's going to restore the nation of Israel. Many people are disturbed about Israel. Many people ask me about my concern for Israel. And I'm reminded of Elijah and his servant. The servant awakened one morning and looked around and saw the whole city surrounded by the Syrian army. And he went running to his master. Oh, master, master, master! All is lost! All is lost! We're surrounded by the Syrians! He said, now, son, just be quiet. Father, open the young man's eyes that he can see. And God opened the young man's eyes, and he saw back of the army of Syria, the armies of God, with everything under control. And I see back of Israel the Lord God Almighty and everything under control. It's just going right on. So we go about our business, telling the lost world the story of salvation. A prophet like unto Moses. Moses delivered the children of Israel, became the great leader. Moses honored and respected today by the children of Israel. You can hardly speak to a Jew today about the Lord Jesus Christ without them trying to tell you about Moses. And the more than one Jew, I've said, when he starts telling me about Moses, I said, "That's right, but haven't you heard about Moses?" He said, "What about Moses?" I said, "He's dead. And Jesus Christ is alive. Moses is dead. Christ is alive. I'll raise up unto you a prophet like unto Moses." And listen. Now you listen. "I will put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak unto all them that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it at his hand." A prophet like unto Moses. "And when he speaks, ye are to hear him." And hear means to believe and act upon. On the Mount of Transfiguration, through the open heavens, God Almighty spoke, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." "What shall I do that I might work the works of God?" one asked the Lord. The reply was, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." I have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I walked the aisle, made a public confession of my faith. And that convenient time, followed the Lord in baptism. Maybe there's someone here this morning that walked out and said, "Brother Wilson, I'm trusting Jesus as my Savior this morning." Maybe you've done that, but you haven't followed the Lord in baptism. If you'd like to do that, the earliest convenience, I'm happy to report that we're getting the baptistry fixed. I hope to have it fixed, ready for service here before very long. Maybe you've done that. Your membership is in another